The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
In 1983, I lost my mother to a horrible car accident and didn't deal with her death and never grieved her death. My mom was my life. I wanted an answer. I wanted to know why. I saw my mother in that casket. I was mad. I even shouted in my room several times, I hate God. There is no God to me. That's what I said. Before I turned 18, I had self-medicated with alcohol. I drank because I thought it was going to help me feel better, and I didn't. It made it worse. I drank because I missed my mother. I drove home one night and pulling around the corner, and it's kind of a curvy road. Car pulls out in front of me, and I'm trying to avoid getting a DUI nonetheless. I don't want to hit the car. My front tire hits the curb, airbag goes off, my hands go off the wheel, and car goes straight into a small wall, barrier wall. I hear this god-awful screaming. I thought, get out of my car, and they go, you just hit a kid. The feeling I felt when that woman said I hit a kid, I suddenly thought, I'm no better than the person that hit my mother. And when I was found guilty in 2004, I was like, that sealed the deal, I was done. I was sent to prison for 5 years. Come back to my bunk, and I found a book, Battlefield of the Mind, on my bunk. Read the book, applied some things that I could apply in prison to survive. For the first time in my life, I was happy to be alive. In 2008, I was released from prison. And in 2009, I attended my first Joyce Meyer conference. It was at that conference I was saved. And that's why I choose to volunteer to let people know how God is great and what God can do for people. And I'm grateful I'm blessed and honored and grateful to volunteer and I'm thankful that Joyce allows God to use her to reach out to all of us. Because of Joyce, I've got a second chance. And because of her partners, I was able to be even introduced to Joyce. And I'm grateful and very blessed for that. And I thank all of you for having the opportunity to have a second chance. I'm very appreciative.
So the title of this message tonight is God Will Meet You Where You Are. Aren't you glad that you don't have to struggle to try to get to Him or to get yourself fixed up to where he will accept you, but that if you just cry out, God will rush to you and meet you where you're at. Father, we thank you for the word tonight, that even if we're lost, you'll come find us if we just cry out to you. We thank you, Lord, that you're good, you love us unconditionally, and where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. We thank you, Lord, for souls being saved tonight, and for every person to not only be encouraged here tonight, but to always remember that one cry to you gets your attention, and that you will always meet us where we're at and help us get to where we need to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you are never hidden from God. He sees everything, knows everything. God has his eyes on you all the time, and he never stops thinking about you. God has never one time in your whole life ever had one bad thought about you. How's that for happy? That should make us happy. I'm sure that I don't know anybody else that's never had a bad thought about me, but God has never, ever had one bad thought about us. And you know, sometimes we can get ourselves in some pretty good-sized messes. Amen. But thankfully, God is a God of restoration, and when we cry out to him sincerely, he will always come and help us get back on the path that we need to be on. Genesis chapter 21, beginning in verse 14. Okay, so Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulders, and he sent her and the youth away, and she wandered on aimlessly and lost her way in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, just to give you a capsule of background, Abraham had a promise from God that he would have his own heir, his own child. The problem with that was that he and his wife were both way past childbearing years. So the only way that that can happen would be by an outstanding miracle of God. And this promise was given to Abraham, and years went by, and years went by, and Sarah began to think, well, surely God needs a little bit of help. So she got a bright idea. Does anybody here know what a bright idea is? And she decided that she would give her handmaiden to Abraham to be his secondary wife, and then that she would get pregnant and bear a child, and she would take that child and raise it as her own, and that was the way that she would get God's will. As soon as Hagar discovered she was pregnant, then she got a bad attitude towards Sarah. Now Sarah's blaming Abraham and wanting him to do something about it. So finally she just put her foot down and said, I can't put up with this anymore. You got to get rid of that woman, and you got to get rid of the child. Because by now they had their own child, Isaac, whose name meant laughter, Ishmael, the son that was not of promise but of works. His name meant man of war. Anytime we get something by our works, it's going to cause war in our life. If we wait for God, we can laugh and watch God work. And so the lad was probably a young teenager, and Abraham had to send her and him away, although it broke his heart to do so, trusting God to take care of them. So now they're out in the wilderness. Now when the water in the bottle was all gone, Hagar caused the youth to lie down under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the lad. And she sat down opposite him. And he lifted up his voice, and he wept, and she raised her voice and wept, and God heard the voice of the youth, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the youth where he is. The first time I saw that in the Bible many years ago, it just really struck me that when the boy cried out, God didn't come and chastise them for all their mistakes. He just said, I know where you're at. I know the situation you're in. Basically saying, I've got a plan. Follow me, and I'm going to get you out of this. And then he goes on to tell him that he's going to make a great nation out of this child also. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, the Bible says, if evil comes upon us, the sword of judgment, our pestilence, our famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name and the symbol of your presence is in this house, and we will cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. Now, you're going to see these next few scriptures talk about crying to God, but I don't think he's talking about crying tears. I think he's talking about crying out. You know, one of the best prayers that you can just pray is, God, help me. Amen? I'm also going to talk some this week, and I'll be doing four different distinct teachings, one different in each session. A couple of them that I'm going to teach on is about prayer and the easiest way to have your prayers answered. And one of the ways to get your prayers answered is not to get too fancy, but just to be real sincere. Sometimes pray with as few words as you can, not as many as you think you can, and God will always hear you if you're sincere. So he cried out, and he said, you will hear and save us. Now, Psalm 57, 2 and 3 is a very, very encouraging scripture. I will cry to God Most High, who performs on my behalf and rewards me. Don't you love that? Who brings to pass his purposes for me and surely completes them. Come on, I got to read that again. Get this. Take this for yourself. I will cry out to God Most High. Oh God, help me. Who performs on my behalf and rewards me. Who brings to pass his purposes for me and surely completes them. He will send from heaven and save me from the slanders and the reproaches of those who would trample me down and swallow me up. Psalm 86:5. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon your name. One of the things that you'll learn about prayer when I do begin to teach on it tomorrow morning is that one of the reasons why we don't get anything is because we don't ask for anything. A very wonderful scripture in James 4, life-changing for me when I finally got it, you have not because you ask not. So if you're waiting to deserve what you need God to do for you, you might as well give that up tonight and go ahead and just throw yourself on God's mercy and cry out loud or quiet, but sincerely, God, if you don't help me, then I am finished and done for, because there is no way that I can do what needs to be done in my life. God, help me. Now, you may not see a change immediately, but I can tell you, if from that moment on you believe that God is working, no matter what you see or don't see, feel or don't feel, I can promise you that God is faithful. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, God remains faithful, and he will show up in your life, and he will deliver you. I don't even know how many things God has delivered me from. But I want to tell you, I had problems. I mean serious problems. And one after another, as I cried out to God and was ready for those changes in my life. You know, sometimes God can't change anything because we're not ready. The Bible says that he'll give us beauty for ashes, but I got a news bulletin for you. You can't keep the ashes and get the beauty. Come on, I'm going to tell this side of the room that. I mean, think about that. God will give you beauty for ashes, but you got to be willing to give up the ashes. I couldn't get what God had for me if I wanted to sit around and feel sorry for myself all day because of the past. I couldn't get what God had for me if I was going to be bitter toward everybody else that hadn't been hurt like I'd been hurt. I couldn't have the beauty if I was going to hate my mom and dad all my life because of their mistakes. So one more time. God will give you beauty for ashes. But this is a good place to leave your ashes tonight if you still got them. And just let them go. God is a God of restoration. God met Ishmael in his rejection and his abandonment. And I love this. And he promised him promotion. Wow. Right in the middle of his rejection and abandonment. And he promised him promotion. I say sometimes, and I think about this often, when I was a teenager and my father was still abusing me on a regular basis, I remember laying in my bed many times at night, and this thought would rise up in me, someday I'm going to do something great. So you see, right in the midst of my rejection and abandonment, God was putting the thought of promotion and greatness in my heart. Let me tell you something. When you start being filled with the Holy Spirit and hanging out with God, there is no devil in hell and no person on earth that can keep you down. Amen? Where are you? Are you lost in problems, tragedy, or sin? Are you lonely? Are you sick and perhaps afraid of death? Have you been abandoned? Have you been rejected? Are you living with the results of all your mistakes and have no idea at all what to do? Well, you know what? Cry out and God will meet you where you are. You may not know where you're at or what you're doing, but God knows where you're at. And God will come and find you. There's a story in Genesis 28 about Jacob. And Jacob had basically stolen his twin brother Esau's the blessing of the firstborn. The father was dying and he lied and cheated and got the blessing. Well, then the thing that always happens when we lie and cheat, we have to run and hide. And interestingly enough, I have found, and this is a different message I teach, but everybody who ran from God ended up in the wilderness. Come on now. I said everybody who ran from God ended up in the wilderness. And the other very interesting thing I found was that everybody who ran away, God brought them full circle and made them go back and face the thing they ran from. And so he was doing what most people do who make wrong choices. He was running and he ran out into the wilderness. He was all alone. Can't even imagine how he felt now at this point. Perhaps he had remorse over what he had done, but it was too late to go take it back. The interesting thing about that blessing for the firstborn is once it was given, it couldn't be taken back. That's how powerful those words were. So let me just tell you, what God blesses cannot be cursed. Amen. I said what God blesses cannot be cursed. And you are the blessed of the Lord. And the Bible says that he put his head on a rock and laid down on the ground to go to sleep. Now, you know, I noticed a lot of them out in the wilderness use rocks for pillows, and I frankly don't get that. You know, I mean, I can get a real attitude if I forget my orthopedic pillow when I'm on the road. I mean, I got to have my special pillow, not just a pillow, but my special pillow, or I think I can't sleep, let alone on a rock. Well, the place that he was at was named Bethel, but it also was called Luz. So how would you like to be in Luz? And the actual definition of that was nuts. It actually meant almond nuts. So some of you maybe feel like you're in Luz and you're going nuts. But even there, God appeared to him and spoke to him. He had a vision of himself climbing a ladder, going up and down when he slept, and God spoke to him and gave him a promise, wherever you're at, I'll take care of you, and whatever you do, I'll be with you, and, you know, I'll bring my good plan for you to pass. Even though he had just lied and cheated, God said, I will bring my good plan to pass for you. And then Jacob said, behold, God was in this place and I knew it not. Now here's the reason why I told you that story. A lot of times you can be in what you think is the absolute worst place that you have ever been in your life, and little do you know it, but God is in that place. You know, every place that God leads us to is not a comfortable place with a soft pillow. Well, I just don't know why I have to work at this place. I'm the only believer in this joint. Oh, excuse me. I thought you were the one that prayed and wanted God to use you. Well, I mean, what do you think that is? Just getting up on the platform and jumping around? Come on. A lot of this, and you know, there's no telling what Dave felt like sometimes the first 3 years that we were married. He probably thought he was in lose with a nut. For sure. But you know what? God was in that place, and God had him in that place because I had to have him for God to do in me what he needed to do in me so I could do what I'm doing now to help you. So don't just decide too quick that God's not in the place where you're at. Because he may be using the place where you're at to prepare you for the next place that you're going to be. I said, God may be using the place that you're at to prepare you for the next place you're going to be. One of the places that I was in that was the hardest for me was a place where I was unjustly treated, unfairly treated, not treated properly at all. But you know what I learned out of that? How to be kind to people. Because I learned what it felt like to be ignored and mistreated and not paid properly and all kinds of things. And I'll tell you what, we take care of our employees. I don't think that if you work for God, you got to be the bottom of the barrel all the time. Amen? So if you feel like you're in lose with a nut, that's okay. You know, I was at the lowest point in my life when Dave came along. I had gotten away from my dad when I was 18, and I'd been away from him about 5 years. I'd married the first guy that came along, knowing down deep in my heart it wasn't going to work. But as I said, desperate people do desperate things. Many times in our desperation, we just add to our problems. We don't fix them. We just add to them. And so I'd come to the point where I had to divorce my first husband. He was stealing and just running around with other women. And it was, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I'd kind of gotten to the point where I just didn't care what happened to me anymore, because I knew if I left him, I was going to have to go back home and live with my mom and dad. And I did not want to go back home because of the situation with my father. But you know, sometimes you get so miserable, you don't even care what happens to you anymore. Anybody ever been like that? You're just like, I don't even care anymore. I just don't even care. I'm tired of fighting this. I don't care. And so I moved back home, and I'd been there a few weeks, and I was managing to avoid my dad. And I was outside one day washing my mother's car, and Dave pulled up. Well, I didn't know it, but God was in him. So literally, I should have said, God is in this place, and I know it not. Because God sent an answer to me. And you know what? God may want to use you to be somebody's answer too. So don't always think that you've got to have a perfect specimen of everything when you first get it. Let God use you if that's what he wants to do. Yeah, well, you're not excited about that, are you? So when you're in your deepest darkness, don't turn away from God. Cry out to God and see what he will do in your life. You know, no matter where you're at, God is there. Psalm 139 makes that very, very clear. If I go to the highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the deepest recesses of the earth, you're there. No matter where I go, God, you're there. And so I can tell you tonight, you know, if you're listening, sitting in a bar, I don't know why they'd be playing this in a bar, but you never know. Maybe somebody accidentally turned the program on. If you're listening, sitting in a bar right now, God is there. Amen. If you're watching in prison, God is there. If you're watching in a hospital bed, God is there. If you're watching in a homeless shelter, God is there. You're not lost with no hope. God knows your name and He knows where you are at. If you're sitting right now, perhaps contemplating suicide, God is there. He knows where you're at. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning at dawn. He came back into the temple court, and the people came to him in crowds, and he sat down and was teaching them. When the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who'd been caught in adultery, and they made her stand in the middle of the court and put the case before him. You know what I hate about this? They just had to embarrass the woman. But the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. The Bible says in Matthew that when you have aught against your brother, you go to him first privately. And then if that doesn't work, you take a couple of others. And then if that doesn't work, you get the church involved. But boy, they didn't bring her to the side and say, Jesus, can you come talk to this lady when you're done? No, they stood her right in the middle of the court. Teacher, they said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, when Moses in the law commanded us that such women offenders should be stoned. Now, you notice they didn't have the guy there that she was with. I don't get that. It does take two. These women offenders will be stoned to death, but what do you say that we should do with her? What is your sentence? I love that. Jesus, the law says this, but what do you say? And they said that hoping to trip him up and get him to break a law. So they said this to try and test him, hoping they might find a charge on which to accuse him. But Jesus, I love this too, he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Wonder what he said, don't you? I'll tell you what I think about this. I think that two things. I think, one, Jesus always took time to hear from his Father before he took action. I wonder what would happen to us if we would stop just reacting to stuff and actually take a minute to see what God's thinking or feeling. And I'll give you the other thing I think in just a minute. We're going to read a little bit more. However, when they persisted with his question, he raised himself up and said, very simple, all he said about this whole situation is, let him who is without sin among you throw the first stone. And then he bent down and continued to write on the ground with his finger. Now, here's what I think. I think sometimes when we're trying to confront somebody, we say way too much. Come on now. And we don't give God time to do anything. He can't bring conviction. He can't do anything. Let me tell you something. Especially my one son, my older son, David, he and I had a very similar personality, and that boy just about drove me crazy when he was growing up. You know, usually the kids you have that drive you nuts are the ones that are just like you. I mean, just saying, maybe not, but just putting it out there. And you know how teenagers are. You go and you try to talk to them, and they slump back in a chair, and they roll their eyes back in their head like, oh, no, not another speech from you. And I'm telling you what, I would go on and on and on and on and on, and then I'd go out and get a drink of water and come back and say, and I would go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, until he looked like he was going to faint. Now, Dave, on the other hand, if he went to correct him, He'd take the Bible and he'd read a verse and he'd say, now, if you don't make a change, this is what's going to happen. And he'd walk out of the room and that was it. Well, how many of you know the boy was not afraid of me at all? Because he knew I was just a lot of hot air. Because everything I threatened, I backed down in a few days because you're not going to go out of this house for a year. Well, I realized I was punishing me, not him. Come on. Then I'm thinking, I don't want to be locked up in here with him for a year. And I really believe that part of that thing that Jesus was doing was just giving God time to just throw their accusation back at them. Okay, if you have no sin, then why don't you throw the first stone? So one by one, they hung their heads and walked away. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? That sometimes we just say too much. You know, I used to have a habit of correcting people and then spending another 30 minutes trying to talk them into liking it. Because I didn't want anybody mad at me. I want you to like me for my correction. So I correct you. Now let me tell you why it's good for you. Well, a few of you know what I'm talking about. You know, this woman was caught in adultery, but God... One of my favorite sayings in the Bible, but God had a plan for her. And then Peter, poor old Peter. I mean, Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut for nothing. A friend of ours has been tested for sleep apnea, and they have different kinds of machines they give people to sleep at night, because what that is they, somehow or another, they stop breathing and kind of messes them up. And so... They have one that just covers your nose, but that's only for people who sleep with their mouth shut. And his wife said, I think that I sleep with my mouth shut. I said, I'm sure I don't. My mouth's never shut. I'm sure it's open while I sleep. So I would need the kind that covered your nose and your mouth. The simple one wouldn't work for me. And Peter was kind of like that. He just couldn't seem to keep his mouth shut. And, but I guess the worst thing he did was he denied Christ three times when he was in his worst agony and needed his friends the most. And it wasn't like Jesus didn't try to tell him it was going to happen. He did tell him, and probably if Peter would have said, oh, Jesus, pray for me, then things could have turned out real different. But he said, oh, Lord, I would never... Come on, do you ever surprise yourself? Do you ever end up doing the things, the very things that you judged other people for, that you said you would never do? And so, I can't even imagine how bad Peter felt when that rooster crowed. And the Bible says that Jesus looked on Peter. Can you imagine? I mean, talk about just wanting to melt in a puddle and sink into the ground. I can't even imagine what he felt like. And then Jesus died, and he was buried, and I'm sure Peter just thought, it's all over. And Mary came to the tomb. Of course, the tomb was empty. An angel appeared and said, now, go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is risen. Come on, I love the fact that Peter was the only one he mentioned by name. Come on, he knew where Peter was. He knew how Peter felt. And he wanted to make sure that Peter knew that he was included. And can I tell you tonight, even if you're the one that's denied Christ, you can be included tonight. Maybe you've been a Satan worshiper in the past, but you can be included tonight. Maybe you're watching this program and you're high on drugs and accidentally turned it on. You can be included tonight. Amen. Maybe you're leaned back in a recliner so drunk you don't even hardly know what you're looking at. But you can be included tonight. Because he is risen. Amen. Our God is alive. He is risen. Amen. Now, one last story, and then I'm going to pray. Blind Bartimaeus. Oh, my gosh, I love this story. Luke 18:35. And as he came near to Jericho, it occurred that a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he asked, "What does this mean?" And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he shouted, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, take pity and have mercy on me." But those who were in the front reproved him, telling him, "Keep quiet." And I love this. Yet he screamed and shrieked all the more. Come on, when somebody tells you to keep quiet about Jesus, you just need to get louder. Yeah. Now watch this. He screamed and shrieked all the more, "Son of David, take pity and have mercy on me." And then four of the most beautiful words in the Bible, "Then Jesus stood still." When you cry out to God, he stands still. One of my babies needs me. Amen. One of my babies needs me. You know what? No matter how far you think you've gotten away from God, you're not so far that he can't reach you. I love what the Bible says, that God's arm is not shortened that he cannot save. And I used to wonder what that meant, but I finally realized God's got a long arm. And let me tell you, no matter where you're at, God can reach you. He can find you. Okay, now I want you to listen to me for just a few minutes. Nobody moving around, everybody just listening. You know what? Salvation is the most unreasonable gift that anybody could ever offer you. It's just like ridiculously wonderful. It's the great exchange where God will take our sin and give us his forgiveness. He'll take our sickness and give us his healing. He takes our sin and gives us his own righteousness. He justifies us, makes us right with himself, removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, makes us a new creature in Christ, gives us a brand new start. Everything washed away and put as far as the east is from the west. And you know what? It's all already been done. Everything that God needs to do for human beings to have a wonderful life has already been done and completed for over 2,000 years, just waiting for anybody that would dare to believe, "This is for me. This is not just for somebody else. This is for me." And if you're in this place tonight and you say, "You know, Joyce, I'm lost. I'm the one living in lose with feeling like I'm nuts, or I don't know where I'm at. I'm addicted to some substance. I'm lonely. I've lost my family. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my dignity. I've been a prostitute. I've been a murderer." No telling what brands of humanity are listening tonight in the different parts of the world where this message is being received right now. And I just want to tell you that God loves you and he has an amazingly good plan for your life. And tonight is a night for you to start over. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, but you say, Joyce, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven when my time here on earth is up. I want to take Christ as my, not just my Savior, but my Lord. I want to live life with Him. All you have to do tonight is just believe. Believe that He died for you. Not just for everybody, but for you. Take this personally. If you would have been the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. He would have went through everything He went through for you. And He wants to come and clean you up on the inside and then come and live in you. That's what it means to be born again. God comes to live in you. You become the home of God, the dwelling place of God. So you see, you never have to go look for God again because He's always as close as your breath. I love a story that I read this week about a little girl whose father was an atheist, and he drummed it into his kids from the time they were little that there was no God. And when she was at school, her teacher said something about God, and she came home to her dad all excited. She said, I knew you weren't telling the truth. I knew you weren't telling the truth. I knew He was alive because when I put my hand on my chest, I feel Him walking around in there. Where do you think you got your heartbeat? It was God who breathed into Adam the breath of life. I mean, if God wasn't walking around in us, please don't leave tonight without knowing that you're right with God. And you're not right with God because you've done everything right or ever will do everything right. We're human beings. We make mistakes every day. But that forgiveness is always there. And all we need to do is thank Him for it. Repent. Be willing to turn away from the sin. Acknowledge sin. Agree with God. Yes, I am a sinner. But I want to be better. I want to live my life with you. Will you meet me where I'm at? If that's you tonight, or if you're backslidden, you've walked away from God, and the enemy had you convinced that God would never take you back, and you're ready to come back home and do it right this time. Or if you're watching by TV and you say, Joyce, this is for me. I'm going to invite you to pray with us, and then there's going to be a phone number come up on your screen where you can call my office, and they'll make sure that you get a book that I want to send to you about how to start your new life right with God, and we'll answer any questions that you have. So if you're in here in this building tonight and you say, yes, Joyce, I want you to pray with me. I want to receive that prayer tonight. I'm ready to surrender. I want you to just stand up on your feet. I'm not going to bring you down here, but I want you to stand up. If you're not willing to take the stand for Jesus in here, you'll never go out those doors and do it. So come on. Amen. Come on, be brave. Amen. It's time to be brave. You know the song now. You make me brave, you make me brave. Come on. All right, remain standing. Come on, you got enough strength to stand up long enough for a prayer. Now listen, I'm just going to say, if there's anybody else, don't go home and say, I wish I would have. And obviously, you know, you don't have to stand up to be saved, but don't be afraid to acknowledge Christ. Because honestly and truly, if you won't do it in here, you're not going to do it when you get out there. Amen. All right, so now, let's all pray together with them. I want you just to pray this prayer out loud. Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I admit that I'm a sinner. I have not lived my life right. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. I receive you now. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for making me brand new. Thank you for making me brand new. I surrender my life to you. And I receive you. I believe you'll be with me always. Now I believe I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm going to enjoy my journey. Come on, give God a big praise.
I get to have a relationship with Him, not because of anything I've done or who I am, but because of who He is.
I'm starting to experience all the things He died for.
It's something really that you feel, and it's in your heart, and when you do, it's amazing.
Begin your new way of living with this free book from Joyce Meyer Ministries and gain confidence and understanding of your new life in Christ. Simply call or visit us online at joycemeyer.org.
Well, today you might feel lost. You may feel like the world is against you. You might be wondering if there's any hope for you in your circumstance. Will God really help me? Well, God will meet you right where you are. You don't even have to struggle to try to get to Him. All you need to do is open up your heart, say, God, I need your help, and God will meet you where you're at. Today, we're offering you my new devotional called Closer to God Each Day, and I'm excited about this devotional. People just seem to really love the devotionals. 365 different unique ways to just connect with God. And we're offering this today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We do that with certain resources because we want everybody to have an opportunity to get some word in a format that can encourage them on a daily basis. So if you can only give a smaller gift, you can do that. But then there are those of you who can give a much larger gift, and that would help make up for some of the people who can't give as much. This would also be a great gift for a friend or a family member this holiday season. Why not decide this year, I'm going to get closer to God every day. God bless you.
Joyce's newest daily devotional, Closer to God Each Day, will give you practical ways and powerful scripture to help develop your intimacy with God.
God is waiting for us to determine the level of intimacy that we desire with Him. The closer we are to God, the more fulfilling our lives will be.
Joyce's newest devotional, Closer to God Each Day, is available for a donation of any amount. So visit us online at joycemeyer.org and order your copy today.
The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. There's no amount of our good works that can ever make up for our sin. We have to go to Him through the one who was sinless, who took our sin upon Himself, who died in our place, took our punishment that we deserved, paid the debt that we owed, took the keys of hell and death away from Satan, rose victoriously, and is now seated at the right hand of God, who shed His blood for us. And what Christ has done is available to every one of you. But when we enter into a relationship with God, it's the greatest exchange in the whole world that takes place. We get to give Him everything we have, and He in turn gives us everything that He has and everything that He is. Do you want to trade your sin for His righteousness? Do you want to trade your misery for His peace? Do you want to know that you have a future? Do you want to have a best friend that will never leave you nor forsake you? If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is who He says He is and that He did what He has said that He did, then He will forgive your sins. He will come to live in you. God loves you. And that's what you're looking for anyway. Unconditional love. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved.
Christmas is the time to give, to set aside our needs and focus on the needs of others. And we've made it easy to do just that. Through our Hand of Hope gift catalog, you can give to 4 specific outreach areas of need and help make a difference in someone's life this holiday season. You can help provide life's basic needs by giving towards our feeding and water outreaches, by rescuing women and children who are caught in human trafficking. Make a difference for those who are suffering by giving towards our medical and dental outreaches, or simply by giving to Hand of Hope and into other humanitarian outreaches where the needs are great. So this holiday season, give hope. When you give a special gift to one of the Hand of Hope outreaches, you'll receive Joyce's devotional, Trusting God Day by Day, as our gift to you. Call or visit us online and make a decision this Christmas to give hope.